if I could point out a little inconsistency between this reading from Sirach, which is one of the late wisdom books, and the response for the psalm, pardon me, and the practice of Jesus. It says in the Sirach, he will not show partiality to the poor. Well, that's not right. He does show partiality to the poor. Jesus did, at least. So this is another example of what I was trying to get at last Sunday in talking about the nature of Scripture, that Scripture is constantly self-correcting, reinterpreting itself. Okay, this little story is important because of the importance of prayer. Prayer is the purest act of religion. If we don't pray, that is, if we don't consciously seek for God, spending some time in that effort, religion doesn't exist for us. And so it, what these two people represent are radically different and opposed notions of prayer. Prayer is, as the great Augustine put it, the search for God and the search for the self. Lord, let me know myself, let me know you. Prayer is supposed to be the conscious appropriation of a certain way of looking at the world, looking at myself, that I don't have at any other point in my life, and I'm not praying. And that's why when the Pharisee, and please note, the Pharisee, they were called the pious. He stands self-congratulatory and saying, what a swell person I am. I am really nice. I do all these good things, and I'm especially nice in the face of this crook over here. And the tax collectors, by and large, were crooks, as a matter of fact. But the tax collector is, in the very words of his prayer, consciously looking for himself and for God. The Pharisee believes he's already found God and knows what God is about, etc., etc. Now, we can look at this in a bunch of different ways. I mean, we Canadians are not usually guilty of self-congratulation. I mean, we're sort of a modest, recessive people. You know, we don't promote ourselves overly. And so it can look like, if, from that perspective, that this sort of self-promoting position of the Pharisee to be is simply a matter of bad taste, is not polite, is not correct. I mean, we don't do that. In good company, we don't behave in that fashion. But that, of course, is not the problem here. Nor is it even some sense of something that goes through all the gospel, namely this radical reversal of things, where the exalted will be humbled and the humbled exalted. First of all, the Pharisee's living a lie, and the tax collector is not. The Pharisee is looking at himself in the coordinates of his life to say, I'm in really good shape here. The tax collector is looking to God to figure out who he is. And that reveals the greatest problem of this, these two people. It's not that the Pharisee was arrogant and proud, but that he cut himself off from other people. That's the crucial problem here. I'm not like that bum over there. I am really nice. I am really good. And we can be sure that the tax collector would make accommodation even for the arrogance of the Pharisee. So we are where we always are in any of this biblical stuff, Jesus stuff, trying to build a real human family. And everything that obstructs that in this case the arrogance of the Pharisee, is evil, is sin. I must resist that.